بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإلى ثمود أخاهم صالحا قال يا قوم اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره هو أنشأكم من الأرض واستعمركم فيها فاستغفروه ثم توبوا إليه إن ربي قريب مجيب. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Today my speech is different from other days, and you might not hear this subject that I am going to address tonight and tomorrow, inshallah, from the pulpit, from a mosque, or by an imam. But I see it very necessary and very important to address this topic over two parts, two nights, because it really touches our life, deeply touches our life and our living and our families and our future and our health and our religion ultimately. And that is the issue of climate change and a global warming. We, the Californians, we are paying heavy price for that. And you can see that. It's very visible. Next time when you get the electricity bill, just look at it and compare it to previous years. And listen to the news and see how much warning we receive from the mayors and the governor and the officials regarding the severity of the drought and the consequences of the this drought because of the climate change. The other day, I don't go shopping, but once in a while, you know, by mistake, I go to the supermarket. So I was, purchasing some fruits, so I realized it's really expensive. So I asked the guy who works there, I said to him, these are expensive. He said, yes, sir. Yes, of course, because of the drought. Not only they are expensive, but they are bad in quality. They don't have that good quality that we used to enjoy because of the drought. Now, sometimes we contribute into this drought. We, the humans, through our misdeeds and the exploitation of the resources, the abundance of resources that God has given us, we contribute into these natural disasters and into this global warming and the climate change. And it is a really, really serious threat. It's very serious and to the security and the prosperity of mankind everywhere. And if it goes unchecked, it will pose a serious threat to the entire humanity with wide-ranging and cascading consequences. One of them is the spread of diseases. You know, the climate change and this global warming is contributing, causing something very dangerous. The rising of the sea levels. And this rising of sea levels also is going to affect the ecosystem, the ecological system. And it will contribute and help to the spreading of the diseases. So even if you think you are immune in America from other countries, from Asia or Africa or the poor countries, but when you have this terrible climate change, you will see the diseases are going to travel and move faster. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something beautiful in the Holy Quran, in the verse that I just read. وَإِلَىٰ ثَمُودَ أَخَاهُمْ وَإِلَىٰ ثَمُودَ أَخَاهُمْ صَالِحًا. Thamud was an Arab tribe living in the northern Arabian Peninsula. between today's Saudi Arabia and Jordan. That was the area where Thamud, this tribe, lived. And there a prophet's name was Salih. He says to them, قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُهُ. Do not waste your time worshipping idols. Go to your Lord, to the original Lord in this universe. And then he says something very important. Two words. He says, هُوَ أَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. It is the Lord who produced you from this earth. أَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. I am going to explain this, elaborate on this. We have been produced from this earth. The earth is our original mother. We've been there, hidden for so many, probably billions of years, and now we are living on the earth. هُوَ أَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. And then he says something else after that. وَاسْتَعْمَرَكُمْ فِيهَا. And he settled you therein, in the earth. He wants you to live there. And he wants you to build and maintain this earth and make it a place of comfort, a place of peace, a place of living. Because you need to live here with your families, with your children, for many generations to come. We have inherited this earth from our predecessors, and we have to give it again, because one day we're going to leave. We have to hand in this earth to the next generation in peace. We should not destroy it. Do you see sometimes, unfortunately, some tenants who live in an apartment, in a house, they don't pay the mortgage, they don't pay the rent, and they start destroying the apartment, destroying it out of, you know, whatever, hate or whatever. They start destroying it, so the next person who's going to move in, he comes and he finds a completely destroyed apartment or a property. Some people are doing this to the earth now because of their selfishness, because of their greed. They don't care about others. As long as they live safe in their environment, in their neighborhoods, in their homes, they don't care of what is happening to other neighborhoods, other societies, other countries, other continents. This is something very selfish. هُوَ أَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ وَاسْتَعْمَرَكُمْ فِيهَا. Allah wants you to be a builder, not a demolisher. He says this earth is an amana. Trust. I've given you this home. Take care of it. Don't destroy it. Because there are many generations who are going to come after you. So leave a good legacy. Leave a good legacy here on this earth. So here, I think that not every environmentalist is a Muslim, but every practicing Muslim should be an environmentalist. We should care about the environment. Islam is not about praying and fasting only. This is one aspect of Islam. This is ibadah. The prayers, the fast, leads into something else. Leads into a bigger result. Prayers and fasting are only means. But the goal is to take care of the environment. To take care of the surrounding. To take care of your house, your neighborhood, your community, your country, your earth. So we have to be concerned citizens of the earth. We belong to the earth. Before you get the American nationality or the Indian nationality or the African or the... You have the nationality and the citizenship of the earth. You are the citizen of this earth. You belong to this earth. So you have to take care of it. You have to feel this sense of belonging to this earth, to the environment, to the surrounding. So Islam is not about just prayers within the masjid, inside the mosque or the house. Islam is to be concerned and dutiful towards the environment that you live in. You have to make it the safest environment. You know how many verses, and I'm going to mention this in the second part tomorrow evening. Verses in the Quran that speaks about environment. caring about the environment. Islam is the most religion that speaks about environment, but unfortunately Muslims are the most disrespectful to the environment. We don't care about it. We don't care about the soil, about the air, about the green, about the energy, about the water, about the food, about the wastage, about this, about that. We don't care about it. An example of that, go to Hajj, the most holy season, where we are supposed to nurture ourselves and refine ourselves and polish ourselves and see how people act. See how people act. And when you go to other Muslim neighborhoods and countries, it's the same story. Because we read the Quran, but we don't follow the Quran. We memorize the Quran, but we don't implement the Quran. This is why we have wars within Muslim countries. The only news you hear are bad news. News of killing. Today I was watching the news, and the four first items in the news, first four items, were about Muslim countries killing each other. Muslims killing each other. Not Muslims getting killed by non-Muslims. Muslims getting killed by Muslims in the month of Ramadan. In the month of forgiveness. This is very hard to break in. Heart-wrenching that you see during the holiest month. This month is the month of forgiveness. The whole ibadat and dua and Quran and fasting and everything in this month leads to one thing, forgiveness. Maghfirah, forgiveness. But we don't forgive each other. Muslims do not forgive each other. So now this is a problem. Protecting the environment and the surrounding is the responsibility of the individuals, as well as it's a collective responsibility of the community. And we, the Muslims, we have to spearhead this effort. My point here in mentioning this subject tonight is to raise some awareness about the environment. And I want to say a few things at the end. How we can contribute into protecting our environment. We are Muslims, number one. And Muslims, it means that someone who does not produce any harm to anyone or anything. That's the meaning of Islam. This is not me, huh? This is not my definition. This is the definition of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-Muslim man salim an-nas min lisanihi wa yadihi. People and the environment and everything around him is safe, immune, protected against his or her harm or hurt. They don't hurt anything. This is a good Muslim. Number two, we are Americans. We live in America. And imagine, although the American people are, they make only 5% of the world's population, the 300 million Americans, they make only 5%, but they consume 25% of the world's resources. 25%. We consume that. 25% of the world resources is consumed by the Americans. So they are not big, only big producers, but they are at the same time big consumers. And many of these consumptions are excessive, immoderate. It's not necessary, believe me. If you go to other countries, go to Africa, go to Asia, go to the Middle East, go to South Latin America, and see how people survive. Look at their lifestyle, their food, their expenditures, much less than us. But they still survive and they have healthy life. Sometimes they don't see doctors in decades. They don't even know the way to the doctor's office or the hospital. And they have much more less resources than us. Unfortunately, we are a spoiled nation. And even the Muslims are training their children to be spoiled. Look at how much food we put on the table even during the month of Ramadan. Psychologists, they say man is greedy by nature. When you are hungry, you bring food, you keep putting food on the table. But when you break your fast, imagine, it takes you 3 bites to feel full. 3, 4, maximum 5 bites. You are not going to use the rest of the food. It's going to be spoiled. It's going to be destroyed. The survey says an average of $600 per year is wasted on food by every single family in America. It goes to the trash. 600 years of food. This is just food. Just food. For every American family per year is wasted. While this food, people run after, search for this food in some. I've seen it with my own eyes in some countries. People search for this food, the wastage that we dump in the trash. People dream about having some of that food. This is not going to be to go unnoticed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This has consequences. One day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was leaving his house. While he was at the doorstep, he found a small piece of a bread being thrown there. He took it, he came back to his house. He entered the house again. He showed it to his wife, and he says, this one, this piece, which is thrown there, is going to bring God's wrath on us. Ghadabullah ta'ala. Don't do this. Do not do this. And I want you, my friends, if you love the Prophet, if you follow his sunnah, his tradition, then try to watch for that at your home, when you go outside, your friends' homes. Don't let the food go into the trash. Don't. Mothers have to be aware and conscious. Cook for whatever you need to eat, not extra than that. If you have extra food, leave it for the next meal. If you don't have next meal, if you want to have a fresh food, give it to someone else. This past Saturday, we had people from this masjid, IECOC, and the church, in partnership with one of the churches, they went here to Santa Ana to distribute food for the homeless and the needy in the morning. There are many needy. Don't let the food go spoiled. This is a big responsibility. So we are Muslims, number one. Our Islam and our Quran is against waste, is against destroying the environment. And we are Americans and we have a bigger responsibility. And we have to spearhead the change, the transformation. Why Muslims are in America? Just to work in the gas stations? Just to have money and make money? It's not only for that. Allah brought you into this continent, into this country, so you lead the change, economic change, social change, moral change. You are the ambassador of Islam. وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتْ. Wherever you land, wherever you go, wherever you arrive, make that a place a good place. Try to lead. There is a survey that I read that it says the children of the second, third, fourth immigrant generations, generations of immigrants to America, are going to reshape the United States of America by 2050, which is not far from now. How many years we have left? 35 years. I don't think I'm going to survive until that time. But you will see, they are reshaping the United States of America. It says that they will make, the children of you guys, the immigrants, they will make 60% of all American children. And they're going to change the demographic of the United States. And the white, who are the majority now, almost 68% of the Americans, by 2050 are going to be minority. Alhamdulillah. Not only they reshape the American racial and ethnic relations, it says, the study says, they're going to redefine the character of America's social, cultural, and political life too. So your children are going to have a major role in the future. So prepare them. You don't want to see bad leaders. You don't want to see leaders leading America into further decline. You want your children, to groom your children, to be good leaders who can save America, who can bring relief, real democracy, who can end racism and bigotry and economic disparity in this country. So you have to prepare them. We have to prepare them. We have a big responsibility. Grooming the next generation to be good leaders, to bring the goodness of Islam. I sometimes read some Arabic newspapers on my desk, here, produced here, published here in Southern California. 90% of what is published in these Arabic papers is trash, really trash. You know, about 7, 8, 10 pages are dedicated for restaurants who have belly dancing during the month of Ramadan, here in Anaheim, not far from us, where they call it Little Gaza. Many restaurants, they have either full page, half page ad about special nights of Ramadan. When you hear about special nights of Ramadan, you think about dua, supplication, qiyam, tahajjud, tawbah, repentance. And then they say, Al-Mutrib Fulan, this actor and this dancer and this singer and this belly dancing, up to 4 a.m. in the morning. Allahu Akbar. And now, are you surprised why the Muslims are going down? Everybody else is going up except the Muslims going down. Are you surprised? The nights of Ramadan has to be the night where we refresh, renew our spirits, our faith, refine our hearts, get together in the remembrance of Allah, in obedience of Allah. But look at what the Arabs and the Muslims are doing. This is shame. This is shameful. So we need to groom a generation that brings real goodness to America, real unity to America. And let me tell you something very openly, my friends, and I am one of you. I am a member of this bigger family. I am your son here. I've been serving you for almost 20 years. We should stop bringing bad habits, this cultural baggage from back home into this country. For instance, one of the bad things that we brought, in particular the Arabs, and let me begin with Arabs because I'm an Arab, so it's okay to criticize my ethnicity. One of them is the shisha. The water pipe. America did not know about this. And now, even when you go to purely American cities where there are no Arabs, no Muslims, you find some cafes, they are offering the shisha. This is bad. People will come and investigate who brought this to America. They'll find out the Arabs and the Muslims. Rather than bringing the Quran, the message, the true message of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the message of tolerance, the message of love, the message of care for others, the message of unity among the races, among ethnicities. We bring shisha, we bring water pipe, we bring argila, we bring these things. This is not good. This is not good. And this is why Islam is not advancing among the American people. This is one of the reasons. What did Americans see about Islam? Tell me, what good things we offered the Americans? Tell me. We didn't offer them any good things. This is why Americans are not interested in Islam. Today, I have a friend from New York who texted me in the morning. He said, right now, before my eyes, I'm in Manhattan, I see a Muslim, apparently husband and wife. The wife is covered from head to toe, and he says it's 90 degrees now in Manhattan today, this morning. From head to toe, but her husband is walking with her with short sleeves and short pants, you know. His wife is covered completely with niqab. You don't see anything of her in this sweltering heat. And the husband is walking with her with t-shirts and short pants. How do you convince the Americans that Islam is about equality between the men and women? How do you convince them when they see this? Would they believe in you? Even if you give them 100,000 lectures about equality between a husband and a woman, when they see this, they say, no, this religion is not for me. Keep it for you. Enjoy it yourself. Don't bring it to me. We have to use common sense. We have to use common sense. If you want to cover your wife from head to toe, also you have to cover yourself too. Either don't take her out in the middle of the heat, or at least you have to wear something conservative, long sleeves, long pants. This is discrimination. People would not love Islam, believe me. Not only non-Muslims would not love Islam, it makes some Muslims turn away from Islam. So we have to spearhead this change, this transformation. Our young generation, they have to change these bad images that hurts our religion. Let me give you two examples and I will continue tomorrow, inshallah. See, small things, they lead into a big difference in our life. You can make a difference, especially the young generation. Mothers, please teach your children. Fathers, teach your children to adhere, to heed to these calls. You can begin at your own bedroom. Protecting the environment does not need you to be the president of the United States of America. You as a boy, as a girl, as a citizen of this country, as a Muslim, as a believer, you can begin from your own bedroom, from your own house, from your own car, by protecting the environment. Let me speak about something that is touching our life in a very adverse way nowadays for the last 4 years. Which is the issue of the drought. We must, my friends, mu'mineen, men, women, believers, we must conserve water at home. We must do that. You know, when you cut back on the shower, 2 minutes cutting back on the shower, you will save, only 2 minutes, you will save almost 10 gallons of water. Because an average of consumption of water in every shower, the average is 50 gallons. We spend 50 gallons. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he consumed only 1 gallon, only 1 gallon for his ghusl. And he was the cleanest man on earth. And we use 50 gallons. So cut short on that. Take care of that. Remember, when you go to the shower next time, when you go to the shower, remember, this is a moral duty. Don't be selfish. Don't say, oh, who cares? I don't care. Many people say, I don't care. This is not my country. This is your country. This is your land. This is your soil. Maybe you are not born here, but maybe you're going to be buried here. This is your country. Even if you go as a guest in a hotel somewhere, 2 nights, staying 2 nights, 3 nights, that does not mean that you have to open the shower, you know, and waste the water there. You have to be wise in using these God-given resources. So use that. Cut back on the water, and let me give you an example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about water, this is a gift. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ. Allah speaks about the predominance of water on our life. And of course, the original basis of living matters is liquid. Protoplasm. It begins from protoplasm, which is a liquid. The origin of everything in this universe. This is how Allah says, your life begins from water. So take care of it. Take care of this. Today, we've been told that although 73% of the surface of Earth is covered with water, 73%, huge, but only 3% of this water is fresh water, drinkable water. The rest is salt water. We can't drink it. And unfortunately, 1 billion citizens of Earth today, they do not have access to clean water. They don't have access to clean water. 20% of the world's population, they do not have running water at home. We have to thank Allah. We take things for granted. Today in every room, in every single bedroom in your house, there is a bathroom. That was not the case until a few decades ago. I went to a museum in New York City 3 weeks ago. They turned it into a museum. It's an old house. An old house, beautiful house, goes back to 200 years ago. In Manhattan, when Manhattan was only farms, nothing but farms. No buildings, no skyscrapers, you know. And they did not have, they gave us a tour of that building, and there was no bathrooms there. So I said, then where is the bathroom? And the lady was giving us the tour. She said, are you kidding me? No bathroom. They didn't have bath. They had to go in the farm. Imagine, they have to go in the farm. Of course, those rich people, they had something next to them, to their bed, which is the chambers pot, you know. So they do everything in that. And then the servants, they come in the morning and then empty it. But others who had no servants, they had to wake up in the middle of the night and go outside the house. Now we take things for granted. In every bedroom we have a bathroom and we take it for granted. And we are still not thankful to Allah. So 20% of the population of Earth today still do not have running water. And listen to this, 40% of the drinking water supplied to your house and my house is flushed down the toilet every day. 40% of the drinking water. This is a disaster, my friend. And then you will be surprised why we have a drought. Maybe this is a wake-up call. Maybe this is a wake-up call. Now my son, he's in Toronto. He just texted me. I was in the room. He said, Daddy, it's pouring rain here since the morning. We are flooded in this city. Imagine a city which is not too far from us, 3 hours, 4 hours of flight. They have a flood and we have a drought. Don't you think this is a wake-up call from Allah to us? To realize the value of water because we take things for granted. It is said that a mother who used to cook food for her children every single day, she spends her time in the kitchen for several hours, 4, 5, 6 hours preparing meals for her children, and then they gather and she puts the food in front of them, and they never say a word of thanks to the mother. Not a single word of thanks. They don't pay. They take things for granted. One day she decided not to put salt in the food. So they gathered around the table. They started eating. And each one said, eh, eh. So she said, what? They said to her, you didn't put... It seems that, you know, it's tasteless. They said, now you realize that there is someone cooking for you today? When you found something missing, you realize that your mother is the cook? In the past, you did not realize? Today, when that something missing from the food, they all said, oh, mommy! Oh, mom! It's tasteless! They realized that the mother is the one who prepares the food. In the previous nights, they never realized. Why? Because they take things for granted. We should not take things for granted. We have to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I will continue on this, inshallah. The protection of the environment and how to become a concerned environmentalist Muslim to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and lead a happy life, inshallah. Allahumma ighfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat tabi' allahumma baynana wa baynahum bil khayrat innaka mujibud da'awat taqabbal minna salatana wa siyamana ودعاءنا وطاعتنا في هذا الشهر العظيم وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.